Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Trending Topics podcast. The crypto space is hot as never before and Bitpanda is one of Europe's key players. The broker app is very popular but less known as the exchange for professional users. That is gonna change soon because Joshua Baraclough, an ex-banker at JP Morgan, is the new CEO of Bitpanda Pro. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you very much. Very good to be here.
So, Josh, I understand that you work from London. So what made you switch from JP Morgan to Bitpanda, from the old economy to the new economy?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it was quite an easy decision for me. JP Morgan was a great place and I learned a ton and got the opportunity to work with a load of smart people in the biggest bank in the world, right? And, from a learning experience, I don't think you can get much better than that. But I think what really kind of appealed to me with Bitpanda is, it's kind of the pace at which it can operate. I think it's the culture it's built. It's the people who are there are fantastic. I think they've got some amazing technology. And really, look, my job at JP Morgan was to identify what was happening in the market from an evolution perspective and see, okay, who are the good operators out there and who should we be investing in and helping to kind of scale or support us. So I guess I had a good eye for who is good in the space and was introduced to Eric and Paul and philosophically we were just very aligned in terms of how we were thinking about things. So I think, we're in such a great opportunity from the point of view of being able to grow this company, at such scale. It was really kind of a complete no-brainer.
Mm. You just mentioned the philosophy. What would you say? What's the philosophy behind Bitpanda?
There's a few things, I think kind of one of the overarching things which is super important in the traditional finance world, and really kind of getting some of these big institutional players on board, is that Bitpanda is just very pro-regulation, and I think that's kind of really becoming a bit of a USP for how the company's positioned, particularly in Europe. And so if you look at kind of a lot of the key hires that we've been making, from like BaFin, from the FMA, from, the FCA, these are senior ex-regulators, who are coming on board because we want to have a very open dialogue with the community on actually where we think it should be heading and play an active role there. And I think that positioning has been very good. But I think also just the culture of, looking at assets more broadly is, we want to be a digital first economy for all of these assets in terms of how we're approaching things really, really appealed to me. And so, when I look at so many parts of the traditional finance ecosystem, frankly, they're broken. I think a great example is you take pre-IPO companies. I think this is a perfect example. You have, if you think about what used to happen with companies is you would build a company and after 5 years, you take that company public. And what would happen is that yourself, myself, people who are, generally kind of more retail in nature would be able to invest in those companies on kind of equity markets. Now, what's happened is there's so much money that has gone into private markets that these companies aren't going public anymore after 5 years. They're staying private for 10, 15 years. And a lot of the growth in these companies is happening in those early stages. And actually, it's restricted to kind of, retail investors. And actually, even then, the trading in and out of those assets becomes really very complicated and almost impossible to do in most senses. And so I think kind of this digital first approach to, starting with crypto, but looking at other assets and actually really kind of focusing on how do you become the ecosystem for everything. I think that is such a powerful position to be taking and really kind of lends itself to kind of where I believe the future of financial markets should be. So I think there's that pit as well. And again, the culture is great. I think it's a culture of smart people, a lot of agency to execute and kind of really, really kind of just building very, very good in-house technology. It's a good space to be in.
Mm-hmm. So now you are the new CEO of Bitpanda Pro, the exchange for professional users. Which goals do you have in the next 12 months?
Yeah. I mean, so many, right? That's sometimes the challenge. You come in and you want to do everything under the sun, and it's kind of like finding what those kind of right priorities are. But I mean, I just add as well, we're very lucky because we raised our Series C. We have 263 million additional capital to spend and on top of obviously kind of our existing balance sheet. So it means that we can be a lot more progressive in terms of how we're thinking about things. But I think first and foremost for myself and the exchange, you know, I want the exchange to be, you know, from, you know, when we think about our peers and we think about what's out there, I want our exchange to have, you know, the most liquidity. I want our pricing to be the best pricing on the market. I want people to be able to come and trade and be able to trade in and out of positions and do that in kind of a, you know, a very, or kind of the most cost effective way. And so like a lot of it, a lot of the initial, and you know, I'm in month two, right? A lot of the initial work has been, how do we shore up that liquidity? How do we make sure we have the biggest participants on the street, you know, trading on our platform such that we are kind of up there competing with the very best. And so we've launched a few programs there. I think the other thing is, you know, looking at what, you know, how we grow our base within Europe. So we've been doing a lot in terms of license applications and getting to the point that we can actually expand our offering, you know, from that perspective and be able to trade more both within, you know, some of the countries that we currently operate, but also trading more sophisticated products as well. I think that's kind of the other piece. And then hiring. I think, you know, that's the other piece. I mean, there is, you know, you're only as good as your team around you, I think, with a lot of this and how you execute on it. And really, you know, I think really strengthening the leadership team on the exchange. So kind of actually, you know, bringing in some really, I would say, kind of like seasoned veterans into a lot of these seats has been kind of another priority. So, you know, a lot of these people actually will be starting very, very, very soon. So I'm quite looking forward to announcing a lot of those. And that's kind of on the sales, trading, you know, and you know, finance and many other roles. So, you know, very, like, very kind of exciting time.
Mm. I mean, I think the market for crypto exchanges is very competitive. So you have a lot of different exchanges. What would you say, how is Bitpanda Pro different from, let's say, Coinbase Exchange, FTX, Binance, and so on and so on? What would be the USP?
I think it's a couple of things, right? I think, first of all, we have a huge retail base existing on our kind of brokerage platform. So we have very differentiated flow in terms of actually a lot of the trading that's happening on the exchange. So both the kind of the retail and the sophisticated institutional side of things. I think that's proved kind of very popular. I think the fact that we are a European company, I think, is another thing as well, particularly as we're kind of building out the kind of the institutional network. You know, you have Coinbase, obviously US company, you have, you know, FTX based over in Asia, you have Binance as well, you have Kraken, again, not kind of European. And really, you know, I think, you know, very deliberately, again, kind of come back to the regulatory point, working in a pro-European approach to actually how we're setting ourselves up. You know, so our teams are local. So, you know, from an institutional perspective, you know who your contact point is, your account manager, like all of this stuff is very localized, and we want it to be very localized. And really, you know, to that extent as well, looking at the pairs that we're listing from a Euro pair perspective, I think that's the other thing. So, you know, I think those are the basic things that we think kind of differentiate ourselves. Then there's some of the more kind of macro elements as well. And we're looking to be quite disruptive in terms of some of the, I guess, kind of how we incentivize customers to use our platform and some of the products that we're launching. Actually, a lot of them, unfortunately, I can't talk about because, you know, we're at a stage where, you know, I'd rather announce it as this stuff goes live and I, you know, we've kind of, you know, the appropriate market impact. But there's some really exciting stuff coming in Q1, which I think will, you know, I think will be quite disruptive in terms of actually how the market operates now.
Mm, you just mentioned new assets, and there are rumors out there that Bitpanda Pro would move into derivatives. Can you comment on this? Would that make sense for you?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there was some good investigative journalism that was done looking at some of our open positions, and look, I think it's fairly unfeasible that you can really look to have a sophisticated institutional offering without kind of really, you know, moving into the derivative space. So, you know, certainly kind of my aspirational goal is that, yes, you know, as a minimum, we'll be, you know, trading some derivatives and offering that out to our clients in, you know, at some point next year.
Mm, okay. And in terms of competitiveness, you also mentioned fees. Do you think that Bitpanda Pro will have to get into kind of like a price war in one way or the other with other exchanges?
To be honest, no. And that's actually because how we're looking at some of the other services we're going to provide to people. So I think we're looking at, you know, I think for what it's worth, I think our fees will be as good as anyone, if not better, on the market anyway, just from how we are pricing. But actually, you know, it's my belief that we will be able to offer a broader suite of services in terms of some of the things we're looking to roll out. And so to the extent that actually, you know, there are other ways I can incentivize people to be part of our ecosystem and trading on our platforms, and then that's really my goal. So I think I don't necessarily feel the need to kind of get into a price war on any of these things. And there's that age old kind of, you know, comment, which is around most of these markets, it's often a race to the bottom from a pricing point of view as the markets become more mature. And again, I think that's true. But you know, coming back to my old role, you know, it's really how do you think about the other products and ancillary services and the other elements of value you can bring to the market, whether it's like lending, staking, derivatives, you know, like custody, like all of these things, right? You know, become assets and solutions and services you can offer to people. And I think it's like, how do you set that up in a way that you can, you know, keep your customers happy and engaged and obviously kind of keep the business growing as well. I think that's the other thing.
Okay. This year, there have been a lot of investment rounds in the crypto space and in the exchange market. Two definitely stood out. One is FTX and the other one is Bullish Global.
Yes.
How do you see these two in particular? Do you think these two will disrupt the industry?
I mean, look, FTX is a great company. I think they're doing a lot of very good stuff. I think you know, they've obviously kind of grown their product base quickly and have a huge support, you know, out of Asia. And you know, I think again, a lot of it comes down to they will continue to grow market share. I believe we will continue to grow market share as well. I think I would add, you know, we're not doing active marketing at the moment, you know, and I think we've basically kind of grown by word of mouth. So I think you get to the point where you're actually marketing a lot of the stuff and people get to see how we're differentiating our product. I think that becomes kind of a real differentiator and you know, I do firmly believe that. But I guess the point is, I think there's room for a lot of companies here. I don't think it's a case of, you know, one company will necessarily dominate everything. I think Bullish is an interesting proposition as well in terms of how they're looking at obviously like decentralized liquidity pools and centralized liquidity pools and actually, you know, how they're positioning themselves really kind of as a market maker plus, you know, central limit order book. You know, I don't see that as necessarily being too different to where a lot of the exchanges will end up evolving into anyway. I think that's just kind of, and there's a lot of stuff like that is happening regardless. It's just not kind of being marketed as quite the same way. But obviously, you know, they you know, did very well from the funding round and the SPAC. You know, I think they build a lot of noise around that.
Mm. So which market trends do you see? For example, I was very fascinated when I read about that Coinbase, for example, is experimenting with a new subscription model for users with a flat rate for trading. Is that something that you are looking to? Do you think that this kind of new models could disrupt the market and especially the exchange market?
Yeah. We're also kind of looking at doing a number of different things. I think you have to be creative in terms of how you differentiate yourselves in a lot of these places when, you know, ultimately, yeah, like a lot of people are trading. We get that. So I think it's a good approach. And I think that will happen in other services as well, not just exchanges. I think, you know, a lot of the other like parts of the value chain will evolve and people will have to kind of evolve their offerings. So I think there's that, but you know, I think there's going to be a lot of changes over time. I think there's the market trends in terms of obviously how people are pricing things. I think there's the regulatory side of things as well, which is obviously, you know, we're seeing like some big monumental shifts. We're also seeing, you know, big shifts in terms of products as well. So I think like you're going to see a much broader participation as well. So, you know, if you take like ETFs, for example, I think that's a great way of bringing in, you know, pension funds, saving funds and brokerages who typically might not, you know, want to trade the underlying. So, you know, participation increases, regulation increases participation as well. I think, you know, there will be a number of different models and people will be looking at, you know, more traditional institutional financing models as well in terms of actually how they might incentivize people. So I think there's so much to play for. There's so much opportunity and space out there for people to get involved. And I think, you know, now is the time to kind of play around and be a bit flexible with how you're thinking about these things. And, you know, that's kind of part of the fun of it, I think.
Mm. When talking about crypto exchanges, of course, we have to talk about Binance. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. And Binance has come under heavy fire from regulators all around the world. So do you think that they will lose market share to the more regulated exchanges? Is that a chance also for Bitpanda Pro?
Look, I don't want to necessarily comment too much on specific competitors with regards to this, but I think regulation is very important to people. I think, you know, and like, you know, not just the governments and you know, and regulators that are enforcing this. I think there is, you know, crypto has historically been somewhat synonymous with a lack of regulation. I think with kind of big institutions coming in now, the BlackRocks, the JP Morgans of the world, the Goldman Sachs, you know, coming in and trading and setting up things, and you know, more traditional exchanges looking to participate in things as well. You know, this really kind of only lends itself to you have to be regulated, and you know, you have to, you know, if you want to be here in 2 to 3 years time, you know, I think it's just a non-starter. And you know, to be honest, reputation is everything. I think it's difficult, you know, it's always going to be a struggle reputationally, you know, once kind of you're in that position. And so, yeah, I think the approach we've taken is the right one, which is, you know, we want to work as closely as we can with the regulators to make sure we want to be innovating on our product, and we want to be doing all of that. We want to be doing it in a way that is, you know, legal and appropriate. And I think there's, I guess I'd add to that as well. I think it's not just that, it's kind of a competition element as well. I think, you know, there is a little bit of, you know, we're obviously doing a lot in order to be transparent and do things very fairly. I think, you know, with MiCA coming in, that's a really big one for us, because obviously, you know, I think there's not a lot of harmonization at a kind of local jurisdictional level. And so because you have all of these countries operating fairly independently in terms of how they're interpreting this stuff, it's very difficult for us to have a, here is a one size fits all for how we will approach and work in these countries. But I feel a little bit that sometimes being outside of Europe and, you know, taking the view of like, we will build this and, you know, we won't market it, but our product will operate here and, you know, and we will acquire a client base. I think that's proven to be a quite successful strategy, unfortunately. And so I think, you know, we don't want to be in a position where we're being anti-competitive to companies that are operating in Europe. I still feel like that's the right approach and we should be doing that. But I think, you know, this is where MiCA coming in will actually, you know, hopefully help us in terms of being able to kind of do that more at scale as well. So yes, I guess the short answer is I see regulation as being a good opportunity for us to increase our client base.
Mm. What do you think, how important is it for exchanges to be neutral? Because I'm asking for a specific reason, because if you look at FTX, there's some kind of interesting connection to Solana, and the Sol token is traded heavily on FTX. What do you think about these connections?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. If you kind of go back to one of the purposes of exchanges, it's to launch, you know, it's to launch offerings, right? It's to kind of get things out to market and provide them to clients such that they can trade and participate in these things. So, you know, initial exchange offerings is kind of one of those things. I think obviously, yes, FTX are kind of very linked to Solana and a lot of the kind of the tokens that are built on the Solana ecosystem, I think obviously, you know, are ones that kind of are heavily, you know, back there. You know, I think to the extent that you know they're doing it because they believe in the protocol, I think that's, you know, that's the right thing. I think, you know, if it's they're looking at it in other ways, then I don't know. But to be honest, it's difficult for me to really comment on that. Again, I think it's, you know, it's entirely down to kind of how they're thinking about it. But it's a good protocol. You know, I think there's a lot of pros.
Mm. Okay. So Bitpanda Pro definitely is a centralized exchange, but of course there are decentralized ones too, like Uniswap and so on. How do you see this DEX space? Is that niche or will that grow over time?
Look, I think it will grow over time. That's not to say there aren't complications with that. I think actually Squid Game's meme coin is a great example of that, right? You know, I think if I was to kind of separate the two in terms of how I think about them, you have obviously, you know, centralized exchanges where, you know, there is a level of thought process and, you know, customer protection, I guess, in terms of actually you're participating, you have separated accounts, you have a process whereby, you know, you're not going to be in a position where you can't trade the other side of something, because actually that's the nature of why we exist. But, you know, obviously on the kind of the decentralized world, you know, there is that danger you can get into certain assets that actually, you know, aren't quite vetted in the same way. And there is kind of a bit more of a, you know, a speculative high risk nature in terms of some of that stuff. So I think that's kind of one side. You know, things like gas fees on some of those can be quite high as well. And actually getting to the point that actually, you know, it's scalable, that you can trade a lot of that stuff. You don't want to be doing a, you know, 200 euro or $200 transaction and paying $100 in gas fees for that transaction. You know, I think that's problematic. And I think, you know, that will get better over time as obviously kind of, you know, more efficient setups come in. But you know, I think there's that piece. And I think, you know, even kind of longer term, right? You look at, okay, let's say in a world where decentralized exchanges continue to grow, like there needs to be kind of fiat on ramps for a lot of these things. And so I think there'll always be a place for exchanges within that. But I think we're a very, very long way from that. And in honesty, I don't even know how you regulate that. Decentralized exchange is such a complicated thing to put a regulatory structure in place. And, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to have the regulators reviewing the code? Like how are they, you know, I think there's elements there where it does become quite complicated for sure.
Okay. My last question is, I just had a look on CoinMarketCap, and of course there's this famous ranking of exchanges. Bitpanda Pro is number 66. What's your goal in the next, let's say 12 months? Top 50, top 30?
Top 10. I think if we're, you know, think there's obviously a longer term roadmap here. But again, like I said, we have a lot of assets at our disposal, which means we're honestly like unfairly positioned to do well here. So I think it's a case of kind of leveraging that and kind of looking to grow quickly.
Awesome, Josh. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, this was Joshua Baraclough, the new CEO of Bitpanda Pro. Thanks for listening. Hear you soon.